My name is Lewis Cantley, and I'm the director of the Meyer Cancer Center at Weill Cornell Medicine and New York Presbyterian Hospital in New York City.
And what's your association with the Valley Foundation?
I'm a member of the board of the Valley Foundation and also a former Valley visiting professor, I should say.
Can we go back a bit? And could you tell me when you first met Bert?
So I've interacted with Bert at three stages of my career. I first met him when I was a graduate student, when Gordon Hammes invited him to Cornell in Ithaca, where I was then at that time a graduate student in biophysical chemistry, to give a lecture. And I got a chance to meet with him and go to dinner with him after the lecture.
And what were your first impressions?
My first impressions was of someone extremely charismatic, brilliant, articulate, and obviously an incredibly great scientist.
You knew about him before meeting him. What had you heard about him at that point?
Well, at that time I knew his reputation of focusing on enzymes and proteins in general that have metal centers to them, and understanding the mechanisms by which metals play a role in enzyme functions.
And so then after that first meeting, when did you come across him again?
So my second encounter was several years later when I was a postdoctoral fellow at Harvard. And I discovered that there was a metal contaminant in the molecule ATP, a very well-known molecule that's the high-energy source of cells. And a commercial form of ATP, I discovered, had a metal contaminant that was acting as an extremely potent inhibitor of the sodium-potassium ATPase, an enzyme that maintains sodium balance in cells. And I was trying to figure out what it was. And remembering from my encounter with Bert from graduate school that he was the world's expert in identifying metals and quantifying metals, I went to his laboratory to get assistance. And in the process, we were able to show that the metal was vanadium. And this really opened up a field of using vanadate as inhibitors of enzymes, particularly enzymes that have phosphotransfer reactions, in that vanadate is a transition state analog of phosphate hydrolysis. So I wrote up the paper, included my collaborator, the postdoc, and Bert's lab on the paper, and was also including Bert's name on the paper. And Bert was out of town, so I gave him a call in Hawaii, where he was on vacation. And I said, "Bert, I need to submit this paper." I think I said probably Professor Valley. And I would like to include your name in it, and I've sent you the paper, and are you willing to be on it? And he said, "My contribution was so small, I cannot possibly be an author. It is fine to include my postdoctoral fellow, but I just don't feel like I've merited that." So he really impressed me as being incredibly generous with his time and efforts without demanding any credit for what he contributed. So I had tremendous respect for him because of this.
So there was a type of humility there and a generosity.
Exactly. So not only was he charismatic, gregarious, but also incredibly generous in how he interacted with younger people.
Have you found that to be quite unusual in terms of people who are running labs and people at that level of scientific research?
Yes, I can say that in similar situations of collaborations with other laboratories, I've been shocked to find that not only does the professor of that laboratory want to be an author on the paper, which is fine, but in fact wants to take full credit for the paper when in fact the research was done without their knowledge. So this is, yes, an unusual to be so generous.
You're quoted as a scientist as saying that you like to push boundaries. Do you think apart from being generous and humble about his own work, he was also at the same time someone who is ambitious for his work and someone who wanted to push boundaries?
Oh, yes. I mean, Bert was always extremely excited about the research that he was doing and looking for new implications for the research. And so it was always fun to talk to him. The third time in which I encountered him in my career and also a closer relationship was after I returned to Harvard Medical School as a full professor in the 2000s, 90s and 2000s, where I got to see him at various faculty events. He showed up at a few of my seminars At this time, he was around 80 or even beyond 80, and was still asking the best questions at the end of the talk, and invited me to come and talk to him in his office, where we threw around numerous ideas about cancer drugs and how to treat cancer. So he was still an extremely active mind, well into his 80s, and very excited about science.
What do you think he was looking for at that stage in his scientific work?
I think as many of us scientists, we never really want to give up our intellectual pursuits. Having curiosity about how things work, that usually doesn't go away as you get old. You slow down in your ability to actually perform the work, but to be able to think about it and read other people's works and suggest explanations for it. I always saw this in Bert, and I see this in other members of the board at the Valley Foundation. As they retire from doing their own science, they're still extremely excited about work that other people are doing, and in particular, supporting young people who are just starting their career and encouraging them, providing them resources, and of course, listening to what they're learning from them. It's very exciting. It keeps us young.
I was going to ask you about Bert's role as an educator. You mentioned his thoughtfulness towards that young postdoc and making sure that postdoc got the credit for the research on the paper with you. Could you expand on that aspect of his life?
Well, I didn't know him well enough to join his lab meetings and see how he handled his own laboratory group. I know it was always a large group, and many people came out of his laboratory as successful scientists to establish their own careers. So I think that there's no doubt that Bird was had a major impact in the success of numerous scientists.
What impact do you think the foundation is going to have in that connection?
Well, the purpose of the foundation, of course, is to continue in the spirit of Bert's own aspirations for science and for science training and developing the next generation of scientists. So I think the opportunities for, and also I should say, to increase the collaborations among scientists. So the Visiting Valley professors, the intent of that is to get scientists talking to each other, having enough free time to go visit another institution, learn what other people are doing, share that information, and then to educate, or rather to support the younger generation as they're establishing their own careers. The Young Scientist Awards have that intent, and I think are already beginning to have that impact.
Because there are quite a few foundations around, so I'm wondering what makes the Valley Foundation, the Burton Coogee Valley Foundation, unique. Is it the scientific awards? Is it the process by which collaboration can happen between scientists across countries?
Well, I think the Valley Foundation is somewhat unique in the types of things that are supported. As I say, the Visiting Valley professors is there aren't many other such mechanisms to provide support to visit for a month or so another institution and have one's travel and expenses paid for while doing that, and to also set up collaborations between other members of the Valley Foundation organization that are already established scientists. So in this way, we're fostering communication between different fields and at different locations. But the second purpose of training the younger generation, I think, is also incredibly exciting. And I'm blown away by the quality of science that's coming out of this next generation. They, of course, have better tools than we had when we were at that age. And they're making things happen much faster than we could in those days. So it's quite exciting for us, the more mature scientists on the group, to look at what's possible to happen in such rapid periods of, rates of progress in the next generation, and to be able to support and facilitate that and then get responses back, learn from them. That keeps us young and excited about science. That's what drives the foundation.
Yeah, no, I can see how strongly you feel about that purpose of the foundation. I wonder if there's one particular moment that has your vote as a valley moment. You thought to yourself, now that was maybe at a conference or maybe seeing two young scientists get together. Is there one time that you can remember that would be an example of that, of the foundation at its very best?
Well, at the various symposia, we get a chance to hear what the young people are doing, but also what the more established people are doing. We bring in the experts in the field, and then we also hear the reports, both the oral and poster reports of the young people. And it's exciting to see these young people, just within a few years of starting as assistant professor, holding their own and with their confidence presenting data with major breakthroughs then the longer term experts in the field are seeing and being impressed by. So it's a great chance to bring the more well-established people and those just starting their career together to see each other, to learn from each other, and to give each other confidence in their results.
What was your experience as a Valley visiting professor?
So I spent my visiting professorship at Oxford, took my family with me, lived in the Cotswolds just outside, and took this nice short train ride into work every day to learn what was going on at Oxford, a lot of crystallography work in particular, and lots of people working on protein kinases, which my laboratory had a focus on. So it was both a time to get to know Oxford better, to enjoy the beautiful country scenery around Oxford, but importantly to make collaborations, establish interactions with people doing structural work there.
Going back to Burt Valley himself and to Coogee, I've heard in the last couple of years a number of stories about his way of enjoying life, that he really was a bon vivre. Did you, even in his 80s and when you met him in his later life, did you see that side of him?
Oh, of course. Even well into his 80s, he was still the bon vivant. The stories about riding horses, I did not go riding horses with him, but I understand that continued well into the later years. He was clearly someone who enjoyed life, and he wanted other people to enjoy life, and so sharing his own wealth to establish interactions between scientists that would allow them to share ideas, but at the same time have fun.
In 2016, as the Valley Foundation progresses and it evolves, are you proud of the foundation and its work?
I'm extremely proud of the foundation. I have to say that I was, as I joined the board and learned of the resources that Burt and Coogee had left for this foundation, I was very much impressed that this foundation could do a lot more than I expected it could. And so we're taking advantage. We have a fantastic board of people with varied backgrounds. And everyone is very much dedicated to make sure that we continue the spirit of what Burt Valley and Coogee would have liked to see.